And good morning, 10 minutes now before 9 o'clock. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition, and it being Thursday morning, joining me as usual, WGBH Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, we begin first with a show at the American Repertory Theater titled Waitress. It looks like another show that's going from the ART to Broadway.
Yes, absolutely. They've announced that they'll open on Broadway in March, but you can see it right here, right now. It launches the ART season. This is a glorious show, I think. This is a show about a waitress. It's just we're looking at regular people, real life people, I think, people that we can very much identify with because it's messy. This is based on the 2007 film Waitress, which starred Carrie Russell as Jenna, this waitress who, as I just mentioned, her life is just very messy. She's in a relationship which is rather abusive with her husband. She finds herself pregnant and she doesn't want to be pregnant. She begins an extramarital relationship with her doctor. So you find this group of people who are just trying to get themselves unstuck between Jenna and her waitress friends. It's just not great circumstances. And this is actually what drew Diane Paulus to this show, is it's just very genuine nature of the film. Diane Paulus, of course, is the artistic director of the ART and is directing this show. And I spoke to her about Adrienne Shelley's film Waitress and this sort of complicated main character.
Jenna, this woman who starts the movie unhappy, feeling stuck, and by the end of the movie has really transformed through these friendships of these women around her and these circumstances, including becoming pregnant and having an affair, all these crazy, wacky things that happen to her. But in the end, she really learns to value herself. So ultimately, I think I was so moved by the fact that it's a story of female empowerment.
So a lot more than the story of life in a restaurant.
It really is. In totality, I really like the show. It's also very funny, sometimes a little too slapsticky, I thought, and I think that's something they'll work with is the tone. The two main reasons I love the show, one, Jesse Mueller plays Jenna. Jesse Mueller won the Tony 2 years ago for playing Carole King in Beautiful. And she is just unbelievably ravishing in this role, and that you are with her from beginning to end. She brings such genuine sincerity to this piece. It's just astonishing to watch this performance. And Sarah Bareilles, the great singer-songwriter from Love Song and Brave, she wrote the music here. This is interesting because this is her first foray into musical theater. She grew up with it, listened to it through her parents, so felt, she told me, that it was in her blood. But as I said, this is her first entry, and it's really, really spectacular. I love the music. And I had a chance to speak with her as well about how she wrote these songs, and she even sang a little bit for me.
My job is to give these characters as much of a three-dimensional soul as I can possibly give them through music. With a character like Jenna, the lead character, I went to her deepest, darkest moment first. And so the first song I wrote for the show was She Used to Be Mine. It's not easy. Anything like I used to be, although it's true, I was never attention's sweet center. I still remember that girl.
She Used to Be Mine, Bob, I think is going to be one of the great theater anthems going forward. The song is just it's just so moving. I get goosebumps again just thinking about it.
This is at the ART through September 27th. A lot of nights are sold out, but there's still a standing room only?
I checked with them. They make a certain number of seats available every day for standing room only.
Okay, since there's not a lot going on in Boston, as Jared tells me, he took off for New York once again and saw some great material, including Fun Home, now at the Circle in the Square Theater on Broadway.
Yeah, we have just a little momentary lull in Boston before the new art season explodes as it's going to, and we'll have lots to talk about this fall. But I wanted to go to New York to check out this year's Tony-winning musical Fun Home, which actually I should mention has been in the news this week because a bunch of Duke University students refused to read the graphic novel Fun Home as part of their summer reading. They found it too pornographic.
Really?
The Fun Home is based on Alison Bechdel's graphic novel. She's a MacArthur Genius Grant winner. And it's a memory play. It's a memory musical, I should say. It plays at Circle in the Square Theater on Broadway, and so it's told in the round. And this is Alison looking back at her childhood as an adult. And you see her as young Alison, as middle Alison when she's college age and coming to terms with her sexual awakening, realizing that she's a lesbian. And also reconciling what happened to her father. It gives nothing away to say that we learn very early on that he was closeted and ultimately committed suicide. Fun Home refers to the funeral home in which she grew up. Her father was a funeral director, or they lived in the funeral home. He ran funerals, but they also he was an English professor and a very fastidious person about decorating their home. This is so interesting, the way it's conjured, so exquisitely and gorgeously conjured, to see an adult looking back at her childhood. And, of course, the older you get, the more understanding you have, or the more your memories are shaded by how you think at things. I mean, one of the most compelling pieces of this piece is one of the simplest ones, where you see Beth Malone, who plays the older Allison, simply looking at herself at a younger age, wincing at times, or really just taking in this awareness. It also has these great light moments, including this song, The Ring of Keys, when the young Allison is working through her attraction to a delivery woman who comes by the house.
I thought it was supposed to be wrong, but you seem okay with being strong. I want to. So it's probably conceited to say, but I think we're alike in a certain way.
It's you see her awakening here. It's incredibly moving piece. It won a number of Tonys for direction, for the music, and for Michael Cerevis, who plays the father. I think it really, really resonates.
Okay. Now, on Broadway, also at the Booth Theater through next January, Hand to God.
This is a very, very funny play, one of the funniest pieces I've seen in quite some time. It's completely subversive. We find ourselves in the basement of a suburban Texas school or church. It's not completely clear, but we have a number of children who are having puppet practice. And one of the children... suddenly his puppet over the course of this piece begins to take on what's deemed as the devil. He's taken over by the devil, and it becomes this really demented, hilarious take as this puppet takes over and disrupts the lives of these children, all played by adult actors, by Jason, who's this young student, by his mother. But why this works is it really, in a very dark and creative way, I think gets at the worst pieces of our character, our narcissism, our lust, our manipulation of others. But of course, it blows them up into these magnificent proportions. So it becomes very ugly and hilarious. And you're laughing until you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I know this person. It really is one of the funniest, sharpest written pieces I've seen in quite some time.
Hand to God, another highly recommended production in New York. And next, there's a famous painting called The Woman in Gold.
Yes, and we talked about this not too long ago because I interviewed the director of the film Woman in Gold, which starred Helen Mirren, and that is about Maria Altman in a true story who teamed up with a young lawyer to get her family's painting of her aunt, Adele Bloch-Bauer, back from the Austrian government. It had been looted during World War II by the Nazis. She prevailed, and this was a major incident because this woman in gold, her aunt, was considered Austria's Mona Lisa, but she prevailed. The painting was returned, and now in New York, the painting was returned to her, and she sold it to Ronald Lauder, who founded the Neue Gallery in New York City. And right now, there's a show, Gustav Klimt and Adele Bloch-Bauer, The Woman in Gold, which really tells a story of how this painting came to be, with lots of pictures, drawings, sketches. It gives a very resounding, full sense of his creative process. Because I should also mention, there could have been a romantic relationship there, and she was the only person he ever painted twice. He was enamored with her.
Okay, now tomorrow night, Open Studio at 8:30 on WGBH2 will feature...
We will talk about Whistler's mother and how that painting came to be at the Clark Museum. We'll take a look at the Nam Keg Estate in Stockbridge, and I talk with Anthony Amore, the security director at the Gardner Museum, about the latest on the heist investigation and his new book about frauds and forgeries, The Art of the Con.
All right, tomorrow night, Open Studio, 8:30, WGBH2, and Jared joins us every Thursday morning here on Morning Edition. Thank you, Jared Bowen.
Thanks, Bob.